What's up, everyone? On today's show, I take a conversation that we have in our True Hoop group chat about the 2-for-1 at the end of quarters in basketball, and David and I discuss it at length to open up today's show. And then we get into the Lakers win over the Pelicans. Is there anything that the Lakers have done in that game and over the course of the regular season that has given us any hope that they can beat the Nuggets in their round one playoff matchup? Last night's 76ers Heat game was crazy. Sixers advance to face the Knicks. What are our thoughts there? Of course, we talk about the final play-in games, Bulls versus Heat, Kings versus Pelicans, and who will advance from that as the 8 seed. And then we have a discussion about the end of the Warriors dynasty. Is it finally here? Is it time to put all the nails in their coffin? We discuss. And then on Monday, David and I and Henry all made predictions based on, you know, nothing but our gut reactions. And so now that David has had time to review the film and deep dive, has he changed his mind about any of the predictions he made? We'll find out on today's show. As always, thank you everyone for subscribing to True Hoop. Please rate, review, subscribe, share it with your friends, and enjoy today's show. Hello, welcome to True Hoop with me, Gerard Hector, and Coach David Thorpe. How are you, sir?
I am well. How are you?
Good. We have some clarity. Two teams are now locked into the 7th spot in the playoffs. The Los Angeles Lakers took care of the New Orleans Pelicans on Monday night, and the 76ers came back against the Miami Heat last night to claim the 7th seed. And now the Heat and Pelicans will face, respectively, the Chicago Bulls and the Sacramento Kings to see whom among those teams will wind up in the 8th seed with the glorious task of, congratulations, you're the 8th seed. You know, I get the number 1 seed in the whole entire playoffs in round 1. But we have a ways to go until we get there. David, I often like to bring conversations that we have, well, ones that we can anyway, conversations that we have in our group chat, and the True Hoop group chat, out to the public, because I think they'd be good for discourse and for conversation and letting people get inside how we think about the game. So I was watching the Pelicans-Lakers game, and I was like, oh, 2-for-1 opportunities, which is not an uncommon thing in basketball. Happens all the time, right? We notice at the end of the game.
4 times a game.
Right. Let's say it's 40 seconds left, 30-something seconds left. You're like, and you have the ball. You're like, ooh, we can get a shot here. They have to get the shot, but within 24, we'll get the ball back. 2 possessions instead of 1. That's a win for us. And that's a common thing we see all the time. And so I said, just randomly threw out to David, David, what do you think about the 2-for-1? And, you know, in a vacuum, as I just said, 2 shots over 1 is always the best way to go. But then we had conversations about, what does the data say? We had questions about, but what is your team doing? And it was pretty interesting. So I'd love to sort of bring that conversation out here. So David, generally, how do you feel about the 2-for-1 at the end of every quarter?
Well, if given an opportunity to get a 2-for-1, it's obvious you want to try to do that. There's no, you can't always aim for that. The other team plays a part. How fast are they shooting? You know, you get the ball with 30 seconds to go in the quarter. That's not a great 2-for-1 situation. You can jack a shot up in 2 or 3 seconds, and maybe you'll get 4, 5, 6 seconds on the way back. I don't necessarily think that's great strategy. In part because quality of the shot you're getting does often dictate how well you get back in transition. I've seen teams not worried about 2-for-1. It's interesting when they can push and get a wide open layup. And so you take a bad shot, they'll come storming down the court and score with 11 on the clock. And you're thinking, that's weird. But you know, they're taking the guaranteed 2. It isn't something I normally would do. We're always going to take the last shot if we can. But if we can't, we're going to take a good shot. I think it's also, you get a situation where you chuck one up early. You don't have good floor balance. They come down the court and you end up fouling because of the transition situation. Because they're not going to necessarily hold for the last shot if there's going to be 10 seconds left when they shoot. So like, well, fuck it. They're going to have a lot of time either way. Let's push and transition. That's something you coach ahead of time. And now all of a sudden you pick up a foul when maybe you wouldn't otherwise. And so I just think it's, in theory, it's very simple. You should be strategizing how to do it. You should not be just taking a terrible shot just to take one. so that you might get another terrible shot at the other end. I don't think two bad shots is better than one good shot versus one good shot for the other team. But with good strategy, you normally can pull off the 2-for-1, you know, double squeeze, as we like to call it.
Yeah, and in that chat, Henry brought up Daryl Morey, now president of basketball operations in Philly, who in the early days of the Sloan Conference talked to him about the 2-for-1, and he said, you know, what's the most settled issue? And he said the 2-for-1, because there's four buzzers at the end in every game. So there's always, right, and there's that idea of the math, 2 being greater than 1. But what you said is something that LeBron James and J.J. Redick talked about recently on one of their podcast episodes. And, you know, if you having two great basketball minds discuss basketball is pretty cool. Now, theirs was an evidence base, which is something that we at True Hoop like to talk about, right? Which is, what does the data actually say? How many times have teams gone for 2-for-1? How successful is it over the course of whatever? But LeBron brought up a point, which is what you touched on, David, which is 2-for-1. He's like, and he basically was like, I like it, but if we've just gotten 6 terrible shots in a row, I'm not just going to force one up so we can go get another one in the end. I want to make sure we get a good shot now as the quarter's coming to an end. And I think that's important, right? You want to, there's a way in which you don't want to start snowballing things, right? Okay, we've gotten 6 bad shots in a row. Now I'm going to toss up a 7th terrible one just because I'm going to get another one back, right? It's that idea of how do we stop what terrible has been happening prior to and do something better going forward.
Well, and I didn't know what they were saying, but I'll add something else. I've had players watching games where guys he's just on a bad streak. He's just not playing. He's not making shots, but he has the ball late in a clock in a 2-for-1 situation. And God, if you took another 7, 8, 9 seconds, I think maybe you can get a better shot for you or your team and just feel better about things. But because of the pressure of, oh my God, we got to get a shot, they take a bad shot. And that affects them in the fourth quarter. Because now they've just had another, you know, I'm telling you, with players, God, just making some one shot so often changes everything about their mindset. You know, it's amazing. But it is important. And when they have another miss, it's like the sky has fallen, you know? Do you ever, I don't know how I'm bringing this up, but I think it's funny. Do you remember the comic who turned into a kind of a jackass named Dennis Miller?
Mm-hmm.
Very smart, you know, guy, erudite guy. He in his comedy routine, he has a great thing where he's like, I always knew who I was going to be starting at birth because I was the baby that was sitting in the crib. I was looking up at the mobile above mm-hmm. me and thinking, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, that's coming down on me. So that's how players get. That's why you see them look into the heavens when they make the first shot of 5 straight misses, whatever. They're waiting for that cold streak to come. And so just adding fuel to the fire, I think, can be problematic. But the data is the data because most teams are handling it the right way. Let's not take a bad shot. We're not just going to punt the ball because we can punt it and maybe have another chance on the other end. So high school is different. When they start bringing high school, my thinking is it'll take 10 years for a team to start really bringing in the 2-for-1 because most high school coaches aren't really serious coaches. So they won't even know about that. But eventually, it'll matriculate up. They'll see it up, team doing it against them. When they start going to the shot clock in high school. And that's going to be a real issue because they're going to be taking terrible shots all over the place. And the data will be different for high school. At the pro level and the college level, you're just seeing the strategies executed better. That's why the data is what it is.
And it goes to show you know, for fans, when you're watching the game, there are so many things circulating through these players' minds at any given one time, right? What is the situation we're in? What is the score of the game? What have we been doing as a team the last 5, 6, 7 possessions in a row? Like, these are all things you have to calculate and take into consideration as you are, which is what David always says. It's why coaching matters. It's a coach's league. As much as the players have to be good, coaching must be good to get the best out of them in those scenarios.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I just think you have to coach to the possession. So if the other team makes a mistake and we're at the end of the third quarter, or even the end of the second quarter, and their best player or a key player has maybe 3 fouls, and they just fucked up and left him in and realize it too late, which happens. You'll see them running the guy's scores table, mm-hmm. but they don't get in.
Right.
I'd rather try to attack that guy and either get a foul, or he knows he doesn't want to foul us, and we'll get an easy bucket. Yep. If it takes me extra 5 seconds, I'd rather do that, especially if I think I can draw a foul, than just take a bad shot. But again, we're talking about the best players in the world who who typically think really smartly, and the data is what it is because they're making the right decisions with this stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, David, on the floor, I mentioned we started the show, the Lakers taking care of the Pelicans on Monday night. And so now the Lakers will face the Denver Nuggets in a rematch of last year's Western Conference Finals. Was there anything you saw from the Lakers Monday night in that game against the Pelicans?
You're almost never going to get me to say anything yes in a one-game sample, other than I don't like how Embiid looked physically moving. But as for the Lakers, I'm sorry. Finish what
you're asking. No.
It's a fair question. I don't know what you're asking,
Anything from that game, and also anything from them this season that would suggest to you that it's going to go different than it went last year's, which was a 4-0 sweep by the Denver Nuggets?
Oh. Yeah. No. I knew what you were going to ask me. Except, if Gabe Vincent had played 20 games, he just barely played.
Right.
I think he's a good player.
He's very
and
good.
A good defender. And Jamal Murray is a problem for the Lakers.
Yes, he is.
That Gabe Vincent can help solve, you know?
You know who also could help solve that problem? Someone they gave away? Alex Caruso could have helped solve that Jamal Murray problem.
For years now. I love that guy. The Lakers, they know what they have to do, I think. You say this about Jokic. He's just such a great problem solver.
Yeah.
So let's first look at the Lakers offensively. They are a high-level elite paint team, scoring-wise. Mm-hmm. They don't like to shoot threes. Ironically, they're shooting them well. Since March 1st, 39.5%.
Third in the league. Elite.
Yeah. And so I think the math is beat them up inside, try to sucker Denver into taking that away more, and then let it slide from three more than we normally do. Because what happens is they're scoring, just not enough. Denver's scoring more efficiently from two. And also, Denver is shooting 39.4% from three. 39.4. Yeah, 0.1 below. So I just think the math works in Denver's favor. And no matter what they do, Jokic, you know, if you stay home on shooters, Jokic can go to work. Mm-hmm. He scores on Davis more than pretty much anyone else ever does. Mm-hmm. And the other part is I think Denver's guys have just gotten so much better at recognizing Jokic can find me. Just get open.
Move. Yep.
Even if it's barely open, and he'll find me. And so, yeah, it's, LeBron said after the game against New Orleans, we just can't turn the ball over. So I'm like, oh, maybe that was a problem when they've lost eight straight games now. Mm-hmm. I looked it up this year. No. What I wrote it down. They have fewer turnovers against Denver than any other team. And there's
well,
they
still the can't problem. Be.
No. No. They're already doing that and it's not helping. Yeah. So I think you gotta do the math. You got to take a lot more threes. What if they take 33 a game? Take 43. Make it a Celtics-like game. Now, they got to be good ones, but you can get good ones, I think. Maybe not. Maybe if Denver really stays home outside, then you have no choice but to, you know, get the buckets inside. But, I give L.A. so much credit for fighting down the stretch.
No doubt.
They could have, you know, Zion going out helped them win.
For sure.
Nevertheless, the Lakers fought to win. LeBron took those charges, like all the credit in the world to them. They were competitive as hell. And now
you in the chat, David was like, "What's the word you used on Monday to talk about what teams were doing?" I was like, "Suckerific." Lakers were not suckerific on Monday night. They played that game to win, so kudos. But ultimately, right, David, if they have to now shoot 43 threes a game, they're basically being different than who they've been all the time, right? Which is very hard for teams to do who are not used to doing that, right? And I just think the Nuggets are just better. They're just a better team. So I'm with you. I they probably sweep them again. Maybe it goes five, but this will be light work, I believe, for the Nuggets.
I do want to point out that these are humans, not machines.
Correct.
And how do you, although Denver's close to a machine, so how do you fuck up a machine? Get something in the ointment, right? Get something in the machinery. the games have been competitive. Many of their games have been competitive. I think three of the four last year were competitive. I think one of them wasn't. Who knows? What do you say about a prize fight? You know, how does he handle that first time you punch it, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone always forgets. I've done this. I did it many years ago. But like 10 years ago, I would ask people, who got knocked down in the first round, Rocky or Apollo?
Right. Rocky did.
Apollo did.
Did he? I thought Rocky got knocked down in the first
round. Yeah, no, Apollo did. And Rocky didn't know what to do. That's the whole thing. He was like, Rocky, looking around. He didn't know what to do. I saw this movie in the theater when I was 11, the night after it opened, because my parents came home and said, we saw maybe the best movie we've ever seen. And then it was an amazing fight. Obviously, it's Hollywood. But there is truth to that. If you just, now, you're not going to do it in the first quarter against Denver or the first half against Denver. So you're going to have to beat them in a game. And then we'll see how the champs respond. They did not get pressed last year much beyond Minnesota, I think, in the first round.
No, Phoenix. Phoenix took them sixth. Only team that
Phoenix. Had okay, them. Right. Right. That was who it was. Right. So, I don't, you know, it's not likely, but I'm never doubting LeBron's will to win, right? His will to win. Yeah. His talent extraordinary, his body extraordinary in terms of how he moves.
His brain.
Not just brain is a joke, obviously. Not jumping great anymore. He needs a real runway to dunk in traffic. But he can race to the rim with the best of them still. He just doesn't finish the same. So I think Denver, I mean, if I'm Denver, I'm glad it's the Lakers. Because the one thing that can catch Denver is sleepwalking. If they make the mistake of sleepwalking against LeBron, they're not champions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think they'll do that.
I agree with you. Moving to the Eastern Conference last night, the 76ers came back against the Heat, 105-104, and woo, quite a game.
Boo!
I'm not exactly sure why you're booing. Why are you booing?
Because the Sixers booed when their guys were missing some shots.
The Philly fans, yeah.
Yeah, I know what my message is to those fans, if I was a Philly person.
What's your message?
Fuck you. They probably like that. They'd probably cheer for me to say that.
They probably would.
I was embarrassed for Sixers. I mean, I'm telling you, as someone who's got some influence on a pretty good number of good players,
right?
I love Daryl Morey. You're going to have to pay us a lot of money to play in that fucking place. I like the city too, by the way. But to boo your guys when they're playing the Miami Heat, who are fucking fighting for their lives, Joel Embiid is struggling, physically struggling. Mm-hmm. I was wrong. I said, I think on our show the other day, I was so impressed with his fitness. I didn't catch his laboring later in the games. And he was laboring this whole game. Mm-hmm. They said he was laboring in warmups. That's what the announcer said. And so to boo them because they went through a cold stretch, like, who needs you? Mm-hmm. Honestly, who needs you? Like, how are you helping? I was embarrassed for NBA fans to do that, to boo a team. It's not like they weren't trying.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes you miss shots. It happens.
Whatever. And they only were making some shots. Neither team is shooting well. Oh, yeah. Right.
Totally. The Heat offense.
Not a well played game. Not a well played game.
No, it wasn't. But the Sixers pulled it out there at the end. And of course, bad news now for Miami, Jimmy Butler. It is an MCL injury. He's feared to be gone for a few weeks here. So if they somehow find a way to beat Chicago in the next game, they're going to be without Embiid likely for that series against the Boston Celtics.
No, be without
Butler,
Jimmy Butler.
Excuse me.
Right. Jimmy Butler. They're already missing Josh Richardson.
Yes.
Terry Rozier.
Yes.
And Duncan Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
come on.
Odds are that whole we can win from anywhere, that ain't happening this year. And
the Bulls are ornered. The Bulls are sandpaper.
What did I say at our Monday? I was like, can anybody stay in front of Kobe White? Apparently not. Like,
well,
he was awesome.
Anybody is
well, Atlanta.
Right. So the Bulls are a pain in the ass, man. They just are a pain in the ass.
Yes, they are.
It's odd. It's almost ironic in that I've been told from people there in Chicago, like within the team, you know, they're not believing Billy, and Billy doesn't believe in us anymore. I don't see evidence of that. I don't see evidence of that. They've had bad stretches, but they've fought a lot. They've got important wins throughout the year. They have found ways. Yeah, we talked about this on Monday. And Miami's going to bring it. They just are limited right now. They're really limited. Yeah.
Let's go back to the 76ers now, who will play the New York Knicks in that first round series. Now, you know, we talked about it on Monday. People were like, oh, should the Knicks, should they have sat Brunson in the fourth to duck the 76ers? No. You play to win the game. You play with, now, you're the Sixers, yes, but you have an Embiid who David just says looks like he's laboring already. And let's be honest, Sixers didn't even look that great in that game, right? Like, and the Knicks have been a consistently excellent team all year. Top 10 in offense and defense. They have Brunson. Isaiah Hartenstein, we talked about, who is phenomenal. Dante DiVincenzo. Josh Hart does all these things that helps you win. Oh, I'm like, you're 6'4". How are you rebounding that well? Like, I don't understand. Like, they just do all these things. It's a Tibbs team. They're going to grind. If I'm the Knicks, David, I'm not, oh, we're going to roll, but I'm not like, oh, no, the 76ers. I believe if we execute our game plan and do what we're supposed to do, the Knicks should win this series, and that's who I'm picking. Knicks in this series over the Sixers.
I would not pick the Knicks to win if I thought Embiid was healthy. He just does not look healthy. I watched the last game they played. Embiid's only played, I think, one time against New York.
Yes. They had 30 and 18 in that game, I believe. Something like that.
And
they lost that game, York, by the way.
Yeah. New York killed him. New York didn't really help too much on him. They played a lot one-on-one with Hartenstein. They brought help on occasion. They mixed it up pretty good. But mostly it was, you're going to have to score 60, pal. We're not letting you get everyone else off, too. And Miami didn't do that. And they doubled him with Bam. They doubled him more on the dribble, with the other players mostly on the catch, so we wouldn't overwhelm them right away. New York's like they're looking for a slug fight, mm-hmm. right? They're the type of they prefer the ground game. They prefer yep. the muddy field mm-hmm. and all of that. Mm-hmm. It's Tibbs' mindset, you know.
Yep.
And Brunson's a mutter. Mm-hmm. Hart is, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not afraid of Philly.
No.
They're not afraid of Embiid. Like, fuck that guy. We're going to kick that guy's ass. And I think Philly knows it. I mean, I love Philly when they're healthy.
Right.
This is not a great matchup for them. Think about it. Embiid and Maxey were 30-7 this year when they played together. That's a stat I read. One of them was a shellacking to the Knicks. You know? So mm-hmm. not having Julius Randle matters.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But OG's got a good spot now there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't really started yet. I had the one game right. because the game just played last night. But mm-hmm. right now, my gut is New York's gonna be fine.
Okay. Yeah.
I like have to look more. I just haven't a chance to watch it today.
Yeah, yeah. That one hasn't happened yet. So you haven't done your deep study on
that. No, it
on
just happened last night. I've been busy. Yeah.
And I loved your rant on the Philly fans. We briefly touched on Bulls.
Oh, hold on. I can't let this go by, Gerard.
Yeah.
Do you know what Seinfeld says about booing?
No.
It's in one of his. Do you see all the shows? Probably some Mm-mm. of them. Mm-mm. You're too smart for all of them. There was an episode where someone was booing him, and he's like, "What are you doing? You boo puppets." I've always thought about that. I really like that. Again, if you want to boo because the team's just not competing.
Right.
Like that's one thing. Cleveland could have booed the Cavs.
Right.
Cleveland radio yesterday. Yeah, that's boo worthy. Mm-hmm. But man, the second quarter of a game, they're just Philly. They had a great start. They're up like 9-0 or 9-2. They had a bad stretch and yeah, come on, guys.
I'm sure people are
used to it, whatever. But
yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't see me doing anything if I was a player in Philly. And they think it's cool. I don't think it's cool.
No, not cool. Not
cool about it, whatever.
So given the Heat's injuries that you mentioned in this final game, which will be on Friday, tomorrow, we like the Bulls, right? We think just...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the other game.
It's a toss-up.
Pelicans and Kings in New Orleans. Zion's going to be out because we should talk about this, by the way. David, Zion might have single-handedly won that game for the Pelicans by himself. Had he not hurt his hamstring and got taken out with like 3 or 4 minutes to go, I want to say he left the game. I mean, he was, to be fair, I also think the Lakers did not build a good enough wall because he clearly doesn't want to shoot, right? That's not what Zion's like, I'm just going to get to the rim. And they could not stop him from getting, just couldn't. And I was like, guys, wall maybe a little bit better. But even with the wall, David, there were angles where he would jump, and I'm like, how the hell are you getting that? Because I'm Zion, and I'm a freak athlete, and I can do
this
that.
This is his gift. He's a gifted scorer. We've written about this. He has not been this year. He's not been finishing those twisting, turning, angled shots that he's made in the past at a high level. But he seems like he's back, and then now gone. It's just so – I think New Orleans, you know, they found ways to win games without Ingram late in the season.
Mm-hmm. Ingram didn't even play down the stretch in that game. They were like, nope, we're playing.
Yeah. So it's a messy situation without Zion now because Brandon's not all the way back yet, and I'm not sure they believe they can beat OKC, which if they had Zion, I think they would believe that.
Yeah. So you're thinking Kings, you like them in this, even though the Pelicans are 5-0 versus the Kings this season.
I don't love two road games for Sacramento. Oh no, they were at home.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be tough for New Orleans without Zion. Yeah. But again, these are 50-50.
If Ingram were fully healthy and doing his thing, you'd have more confidence. You'd lean New Orleans.
Correct. Okay. For sure. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys, we'll be back after a brief commercial break. What's up, everyone? Gerard from True Hoop. What's the best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. My partner and I have a dream of living in France one day, so we can do just that. Now, sadly, that's not in the cards for us this year or anytime soon. But like us, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's super convenient courses have helped me learn real-life conversation skills. For example, when I'm in France and I visit a boulangerie, when I order, I say, "Bonjour, une baguette, pas trop cuite, s'il vous plaît." It's easy to learn how to order food, ask for directions, and speak to service providers without having to fumble with language apps. And in my experience, it's greatly appreciated. For our listeners, we have a special limited-time deal. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/truehoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/truehoop. That's babbel.com/truehoop. Rules and restrictions apply. Okay, David, we mentioned the Kings. They had a win, which, you know, the Warriors are not the Warriors of, you know, the dynastic peak. Now, the names on the back of the jerseys are exactly the same in terms of Curry, Thompson, and Green. So I'm sure there was something psychological in the Kings slaying the mythical dragon as they did on Monday night. And boy, was it a slaying. They took them to the woodshed. And just every time the Warriors came back, got within one, Kings were like, nope, put the foot on the gas again and just hammered them. And it was a big win for them. And obviously we talked about they're going to play New Orleans in New Orleans on Friday night. But David, is the Warriors dynasty in our arena? Is it officially over now? Are we done? Put a nail in the coffin.
I think we've written this and said this with these guys. If you want to try to rally something up around Curry, I think they've got some pieces to move. You know, Klay Thompson, who I thought would be, I mean, this is what happens. He was 0 for 10.
Yep.
And 10. Yeah, he had been playing so well. And he just didn't have it.
But you knew that was going to happen, though. You said it multiple times. Think about former great players is the greatness is hard to come by every night. There's going to be a night where it's not good.
I didn't expect 0 for 10, to be fair. I think they're going to have to move Kuminga. I don't think they want to do that. And Brandon. Trayce Jackson-Davis showed he can be a decent player. But they just can't do it for Curry. You know, they're not ready to help Curry win. And so I don't know if they're willing to pivot. I think they probably are because they want to keep Curry no matter what. But, yeah, it's going to be a choice. Either we move our young guys and take a chance with some other veterans, or we maybe – I mean, to me, it's all in Steph's hands. That's what I've said before. Steph can say, guys, like, we got to see the writing on the wall. You know, let me go play somewhere else. Let's get you some really talented players. And good draft picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I doubt he'd go to Charlotte, but he'll go where he wants to go, you know, and he'll look at the rosters and make a decision.
Well, the reality is, Logan Murdoch of The Ringer spoke to him after the game on Monday, and Steph's like, you know, doubled down. I want to win. You know, he did the standard. I don't make those decisions as far as who comes on the roster, which, fine, say whatever you want. But if you want them to do something, you can tell them and they'll do it.
They'll say yes, sir.
And so the question is, do they decide? Because, again, is it winning a championship as recently as they did, which was just 2 years ago, can fool you into thinking we're just a few pieces on the edges away from winning again, even though we know that's not the case. Draymond's under contract, so they bring, by the way, Draymond, Wiggins, and Steph, the three of them, that's over $100 million in salary right there off the bat, just to start. Salary cap's going to be about $141 million, give or take, so they got to fill out the rest of their 12 spots if they keep those three guys with $41 million or whatever is remaining. They're going to be a luxury tax team again if they bring everybody back. And Kerr's saying that, Steph's saying that. Like, maybe they bring Clay back on less money. To me, if they do that, they are destined for what they were this year. You're going to be hanging around that play-in range, and you're not going to be a serious contender. To your point, do you say, okay, Kuminga's got some value now. Moody's got, some of these guys got some value. We move them and bring in other elite, you know, win-now vet guys, similar to what, like, you know, a team like Phoenix and Milwaukee did, right? Let's just roll in on all Supermax guys and roll from there. Or you break down the whole thing and rebuild. I know where you'd go. You'd go for the full rebuild, assuming Steph would agree to that and move into a contender or whatever.
I would do. Yeah, if Steph wants that, that's what I'd want. Mm-hmm. I have to think about it. I think there might be a path, but it's a very unlikely one, because
if Kuminga, they keep Steph, you're saying
Kuminga can make a big jump. They need someone
Wiggins has to make a huge jump.
Fallen so much. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can find a team to take Wiggins, I just don't think they can. But maybe they can, but I don't think they can. So they're just limited. So the only way to do it really is to bring some solid role players and get one guy just surging, mm-hmm, like a Kuminga. But I don't see it right now.
So if Kuminga suddenly next year is an all-star, that's the surge you're talking about, right? Now you're like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Now we can do it. Okay.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. I think that they know they can look at their assessments. Where is Kuminga going to go next year? Can he make that jump? Do we think Wiggins is, who played better later, not in this last game, he'll be more close to what he was when he won a championship a couple of years ago? Jackson Davis should get better. Brandon should get better. Mm-hmm. That's the path, is those guys get back to where they were. The young guys really improve up. They're still probably short. And they really have, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, I like him, but he's going to be a second-year player next year. It's just unlikely. Yeah. You know, they're not winning everything with that.
Right.
It's hard. These are hard conversations to have with your, one of the best players of all time.
Yeah, that's why they get paid millions of dollars, to figure that stuff out. All right, so on Monday, Henry and I bullied David into making early predictions without doing any homework. And now David has done his homework. So now we have to see if he has any changes to his early predictions based strictly off of what he just saw most recently. So let's start, David, in the Western Conference. Suns versus Wolves. We both picked the Suns in that series. What say you now after deep diving on both teams?
Yeah, I still like Phoenix. They've really had Minnesota's number. I think they've won all three games, which I don't know if pay attention to. But I do in this situation because of the contrast and Minnesota struggles offensively, the way Beal's playing. Mm-hmm. I like Frank Vogel a lot. Finch is good, but I think Vogel's very good. And it's not a good matchup for Minnesota. Anthony Edwards could change my mind. This is the moment where he just becomes the best player on the court. That changes everything.
So you mentioned Ant. We could have a couple guys who, although I would guess by now, and maybe I wonder what you think. You think the casual fan knows Anthony Edwards by now, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
I don't, I'm not on TikTok or anything, but I understand he's a social media guy.
TikTok, right? I love it.
Isn't he well known on social media?
He's pretty popular on social media. And I believe one of his plays this year, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the five most viewed social media plays.
I read that the other day, yeah.
Okay. But a player that, and this is there, we don't know who their opponent is yet, who could break out that the casual fans don't know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? This is an opportunity in the postseason where, oh, who's that guy? I mean, we know because we watch, but when people tune into the playoffs, he could be a guy. Who else is someone that the general casual fans have no idea how good he is, and they're going to see now come this postseason?
Jalen Williams on that team.
Mm-hmm.
He's fantastic. That, yeah.
I think OKC is going to introduce themselves to the world again. Hey, remember us? We used to have KD and Russ and James Harden years ago. Pretty good.
Yeah. Is Halliburton count if he can muster up, you know?
What do you think? You think this week of rest is going to help him? Was he playing a little bit better towards the end of the regular season?
He was up and down. He's not shooting well. He's since his injury, I looked it up. He was 40.3 from 3 before the injury, 32.3 afterwards. Mm. And that also affects his ISO game, because when he's a threat, I actually teach players the Halliburton. His quick escape dribble forward, plays with it, and then he steps back, steps sideways, right to the right three. That gets big guys so on edge that they have to come out, they lift their center of gravity up, and he zooms right by them and is a threat at the rim. Well, when he's not making shots, he's much easier. So much easier to guard. So teams are switching more now against them because they're not worried about Tyrese making those threes. So yeah, I think the week off potentially could help him a ton. We'll know. We'll find out pretty soon.
Saturday.
Sunday. Find out Sunday.
Are they Sunday or Saturday? Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, we will find out. All right. Mavs, Clippers. I think you were leaning Mavericks on Monday.
Yeah. I picked Dallas because of Kawhi. Mm-hmm. He was just injured late in the season. You know what did it for me is watching Zion walk off the court. That could easily be Kawhi. If he had played straight through, I would pick the Clippers in 7. But down the stretch, he wasn't that guy. I think it's a great series. But if Kawhi's healthy, I like them. But it's hard for me to see that right now.
And they're in the 4-5 spot, David. So that means if the Mavericks win that series, and let's assume Oklahoma City beats whoever the 8 seed is.
Yeah, Dallas could beat OKC.
Conference finals. What did I say? Yeah. I said they could get to the conference finals. Yeah. And then you get there, all bets, right? Anything could happen.
Let's get him by. Let's curb our enthusiasm a little bit. let's try to think and see if they can win of 2 in L.A. Sunday or Saturday and Monday, or Sunday and Tuesday, I think it is.
Yeah. They might have – is that – they have one day early and then their later breaks happen as the series goes on?
A lot of teams are playing 2 and 3 days and then a break when they change locations. Yeah,
yeah. It's all based on the arena availability and all this silly shit. All right, Pacers-Bucks. I know you were leaning Pacers on Monday. Where are you?
Same. Yeah. Yeah, Giannis. Yeah, I'm hearing Giannis could be out a month. I've heard that from multiple people, including doctors, who've told me they're only guessing what's wrong with him because no one's releasing it. But based on what they suspect, that it's a month-long injury. NBA radio this morning was saying kind of similar things, that maybe 2 weeks minimum. That's too late.
Done.
And so they already had their number. Doc has helped them defensively to some degree. They've been a mess on offense. The transition D is better. Indiana's a better team, and they play much better defense than they were early in the year when they were beating Milwaukee. So I give the Pacers an edge.
You know, again, I'm going to curb my enthusiasm, but what a boon for Indiana this would be if not only they get to the playoffs, but they win an actual round. Because besides Siakam, the rest of that team's got no playoff chops. And
Turner,
you know.
Turner has a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, significant, like, we know what it's like to go on multiple deep playoffs. They don't know anything about that.
Right. Neesmith played a couple games for the Celtics. Yeah, that's right. They're very young. I mean, Nembhard's 24, Halliburton's 24. I think Neesmith might be 25, right. Turner maybe 27.
Obi Toppin's young, Jalen.
And I like those guys, too. Mm-hmm. I like those guys. I like their bench. TJ McConnell's 30. He's the elder statesman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, they have a chance to be a top two seed next year. They could have had been a top two. If they have Siakam all year, they're the second seed, not the Knicks, in my opinion.
Wow.
So Boston's way above them.
Of course.
Nevertheless, they're a team on the rise. Have been for 3 straight years now. Three straight years, they've improved, I think, by 10 wins each year for 3 straight years. That's not nothing.
Look out, Heartland. You got Oklahoma City already. Now Indiana's on the rise. The Heartland's back, baby.
And wait, where is Caitlin going?
She's going Indiana Fever. She actually, they had a little video on social where Tyrese,
really?
Clearly they were practicing. He came out to like say hello, greet her, the whole nine. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good spot to be. Those going to I don't know how good the team's going to be for the Fever, but it's going to be a cool spot for basketball anyway.
Well, they have Aaliyah Boston, who was Rookie of the Year last year, and her. So I think they, yeah, nice for them.
I'm having a hard enough time tracking college basketball. I've got players in college basketball. It's just the NBA. It's just there's a lot going on. But I'm very excited. I saw Caitlin on SNL the other night. We were very excited. Yeah. I love that she's a big star. I think it'll be Tiger Woods did for golfers. We've talked about this maybe before. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day watching when Tiger was at his best and hearing other people interviewed, and no one would say a damn thing negative about Tiger because they're
all super rich,
lining their pockets. Exactly. The putt they made in 18th on the 18th on Sunday to finish in 12th place was a much more impactful putt than just a year or two prior before he was famous. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping you saw everyone's making a big deal of the salaries for the NBA. My argument's been, I remember when NBA players had to have second jobs.
Oh yeah, that's like, right. Yeah.
It was those. Some of those guys are so alive today. Mm-hmm. They had summer jobs. Okay, like it's coming. Let's be excited. She's not going to be the only one. There's going to be more and more and more. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, women's sports for sure on the rise in this country. It's starting to see more investment dollars, and this is what happens. All right, last series that we predicted on Monday, Cavaliers Magic. Everyone knows how I feel about those sucker Cavs for sitting games, so I picked the Magic. Like David, you said Cleveland or in Orlando?
I don't remember what I said. These are all stream of conscious discussions with me. I don't remember a damn thing. I know now. I feel badly. I'm letting you down because I like your argument. I'm very upset with Cleveland for that. I think Jonathan Isaac can be I don't like X factors typically. Everyone's an X factor. Norman Powell could score 35 in a game.
He's
the X factor in that game. Mm-hmm. Isaac is the rare guy because of his defense, because shooting comes and goes. That he can really impact everything. I just don't know what his minutes can be allowed to be in the postseason. I've got Cleveland in seven because, and they're home, and Orlando is sketchy on offense and super young, and super young. They're another team. Like if someone's going to pass in Indiana, Orlando could be one of those teams. Paolo can make a huge jump. Wagner had a terrible shooting year. Maybe he'll fix it in the offseason. I heard he's a super hardworking guy, very humble guy. Yeah, Orlando can easily surge past
Indiana next year. What did you see from Paolo this year, from rookie year to year two, improvement-wise?
Not a lot different.
Okay.
Better. Just understanding he's an okay player now with enormous upside. I'm a huge fan.
He's so big.
I love his passing ability. Just can't shoot. I mean anywhere. He's at the rim, average at best. Everywhere else, bad. So he's got some work to do. But their talent is immense, and he can really pass. I love his talent. Yeah, really, really love. Is he going to play for – is he a Team USA guy down the road or Team Italy?
No, not this. So David, can we talk about that? Can we talk about that? Listen, you know I love giving props to Bron and KD and Steph every chance I get. You know, old guys still doing it. But David, this fucking roster for the Olympics, it's all old dudes. LeBron.
Yeah, what are they called? Steph. The Avengers?
I mean, the geriatric Avengers, LeBron, KD, Steph, Embiid, hobbled. Like, I'm just like, guys, what are we doing? What are we doing?
I'm saving my opinion for I've my brain is too small.
Maybe they win the gold.
We've got time for that, Gerard. You can vent all you want. I didn't even know about this. I just saw someone write the other day or today. Some of the Avengers, and my thought was, well, because they all lost before because they're old. Like, I don't really know. I love it when it's time. Yeah. That's the summer, right?
Yeah,
Olympics
are
the summer in France.
100 days. Yeah. We're only 100 days away from.
I'll be at Vegas Summer League. Well, I don't know. When are the games?
Well, so basketball usually is towards the end of the games. Like the gold medal
games
towards
maybe?
The end. Yeah. Yeah. Well, but July, I'll start, and then August. Well, yeah. So.
Oh, because I'll be. After Vegas, my wife aren't doing Napa. I've never been to Napa.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, we can't wait. Yeah. So
you've been there before?
No, it's one of the few places that we're dying to go that we've never gone.
I will send you a couple places that I like up there.
I've got the hookups, but we have a couple of days we're still open.
Okay.
So please. Yeah.
We'll do. All right, guys. Friday, we'll find out who the eight seeds are. And then Saturday, playoffs begin. By Monday, we'll already have sky falling for someone because they've already lost their first game. Or, ooh, look what's happening in this series because they won game one unexpectedly or whatever. We'll have plenty to talk about come Monday. So enjoy the final play-in on tomorrow night and enjoy the start of the playoffs this weekend. Take care.